boy, welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. I have barely a voice here after the trade deadline. It's not because of the trade deadline, but I am joined with my good friend, Jay Smith. Jay, what's up, dude?
What's up? Just survived, for the Thunder, a pretty underwhelming trade deadline, but the NBA was at its best today. A lot of fun, tons of updates. And also, the deadline is a soft deadline, apparently.
So,
because maybe the most, I don't know if it's the most impactful trade of the day, but one of the most, what people were kind of assuming trades of the day was Victor Oladipo going to the Heat. And that was 10 minutes after the 2 o'clock here local time. And so, man, it's for the Thunder, it's George Hill to the Sixers for a couple seconds and a guy that who knows.
Yeah, Tony Bradley, he's like your run-of-the-mill backup big guy, and like the Thunder, and they should have this belief in them that like this is like a great incubator for young guys. And so like, go ahead and try it, let's see. Because like it's clearly worked with a guy like Moses Brown, like it's been very good for him in his career. But man, like it's a fine trade. Essentially, the Thunder were never going to bring George Hill back, like even into the rotation. I don't know how close he is to being back, but he was never going to play for the Thunder again because of how well Teo has played, essentially, and you know, some of the other guards contribute to that as well.
Ty Jerome is also
Ty is a big part of it. Like those guys are the reason why George Hill is never going to play for the Thunder again. And so essentially you move him out. I mean, like, and how much better is George Hill than both those guys? Like they both played pretty well. I think he's better. I think he's certainly better. And he's more experienced, but like it's the gap isn't huge.
Well, I think the thing that's important for Thunder fans, and somebody tweeted this, and so I'm just paraphrasing, and I'm not going to really look up who tweeted it, but I think there's a pretty good – I could make a pretty good assumption that Sam was on the phone all the way up to the deadline trying to move Muscala and even probably taking calls for Al Horford, obviously taking calls maybe for Justin Jackson and maybe even Kendrick Williams. But it's one of those things that Sam's not going to just get rid of guys. It doesn't feel like if there's not something there for you. I do wonder, and this is also something Sam doesn't historically do, but what does Sam do with a guy like Muscala? Because I feel like the fair thing to do would be to buy him out.
To me, it's all about a conversation with Mike. Like, what does Mike want? Like, do you want to move right now, Mike, and go play with another team? Like, I don't know what Mike Muscala wants out of this season. I don't know if he wants...
Surely it's not sitting on the bench for a team that's intentionally trying to.
It sounds like a bad thing for him when you put it that way. Right. But I don't know. I don't know if he likes to be with this team. I don't know if he likes being around these guys and practicing with. I have no clue. I can't.
Him and Poku are just building a just dynamic friendship in this season.
He doesn't want to be away from Poku. Yeah, I really don't know. I would assume that they would have that conversation with him. There's a lot of guys being bought out. Like, there was all those reports about LaMarcus Aldridge. Oh, we for sure. Yeah, definitely have a trade partner with him. It's like, okay,
yeah, we're going to get a partner for sure. Cool. Nobody.
And then same with Andre Drummond. Like, they can't even move Andre Drummond. They have to buy him out. And so both those guys are being bought out, you know, within the next day or two. And
And most reports are saying Aldridge is going to land with Miami. Drummond's going to probably land with the Lakers. Mikele had mentioned this, and he may be jumping on here in a few, but it is underwhelming for a Thunder fan. And I don't know. I think the hard part in this era of Thunder is going to be how many draft picks can we accumulate? And I would have loved to have seen, like, even if they figured out something with Boston to get a Romeo Langford, or, you know, Orlando was doing a full-blown fire sale, and so why not, like, hey, is there a chance that they could have got a Mo Bamba? I don't know really what's out there for the Thunder. And none of them to move the needle, but just something to basically pique my interest is really what I was looking for. Like, it has nothing to do with like what, because with the draft capital they have and the players they already have at this point, it's like it's just kind of for fun. And also to really, for me, is it's also to continue to drive the point to where we need to deplete this roster. And I know that is not the most enjoyable thing for a fan, but Al Horford, Muscala, as I mentioned, we knew Al was going to be hard. I think you'd mentioned from the beginning of even when we got Al, as it's probably more likely he's going to be moved this summer or even into next year. George Hill was an easy one, but the Muscala one being an expiring contract is the one that's kind of like, nobody wanted to give, another second for Mike Muscala. But
yeah, I think that there's also something about the fact that we've seen every minute of all these guys this year, and I think we overvalue them a bit, especially the French guys. So it's hard for me to say that, like, there was definitely a second out there from Muscala, but maybe there wasn't. I mean, it's possible that there was not. I mean, you would think they could have gotten a similar deal to, like, the Bielitsa deal. And I don't know why. I mean, I would love to know if the Thunder were in on those discussions as well. And maybe the Thunder were pushing too hard at Miami to unprotect those picks in order to get a deal done.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a lot of layers to all this, to where it seems like, oh, why didn't you just do this or do that? Like, we don't know the layers of conversations that are happening behind the scenes. And the truth is,
right,
even if the Thunder did acquire, I mean, the Thunder have acquired a ton of, like, low level guys, like legitimate guys that played in the G League this year are playing big time minutes for the Thunder, and it doesn't really matter. And it's because they play a system that elevates the level of play for everybody. So to me, I don't know that there was a whole lot. I think getting George Hill moved on was really important. And, you know, they're going to rest Al Horford the rest of the season a lot. I mean, just go take a look at the April schedule and tell me they're not going to rest him half of it. I mean, it's going to happen.
Well, and also it may be buried in the trade that we didn't think about, because there was initially a point where it was probably just how it was tweeted or how I read it, because it was like the one moment of the day where I wasn't able to readily be at my phone. But also initially everybody's like, did the Thunder just reacquire Terrence Ferguson? What just happened? But it ended up being Austin Rivers is coming to Oklahoma City, which, what does that
mean? Yeah, I'm trying to get clarity on that. Because I don't have it yet. I mean, it's interesting that there is usually, like, when you acquire a player like that, it's like almost immediately you get the report of, and they're never going to come to Oklahoma City. And that hadn't happened with him. And so to me, I do think there's a chance he comes here. And if he plays, he's kind of the guy the Thunder, he's definitely the guy the Thunder have not had on this team, which is like a pure chucker. That is just going to come out and, like, go get buckets, and it's kind of the guy, like, a cog in the system that it doesn't fit. You know, he doesn't fit, like, what the Thunder want, even to the point of, like, the way he talks to media. Like, any of the guys right now, you go talk to him, you try to get anything out of him, like, you're not getting much from any of these guys in any of these Zoom presser situations. Like, Austin Rivers is a guy that will just talk about whatever's on his mind, and he'll say the things that most guys won't say. And so, like, he just doesn't fit the Thunder mold in any capacity. But to me,
is he really under contract through 2023?
It's non-guaranteed moving forward after this year.
Okay. So it's just the end of this year and then non-guaranteed the next few. Okay, that's what I thought I read that, but looking at Hoops Hype and Sports Track, it was hard to kind of get a real idea of the guaranteed part of it. So, I mean, he may be another guy that they either buy out, or it's just one of those things that they just bury him on the bench and let him ride out the season and move on, or don't even show up. I mean, they did that with Trevor Ariza, like, hey, just hang out in New York, and, you know, we'll be done after this year.
So, yeah.
And because it's just asset accumulation, which one of the tweets that continued to go around all throughout the trade deadline was that the Thunder have 17 first and 17 seconds in the next 7 years. Is that real?
Yeah,
7 years?
Yes, in 7 years it is. And I'm going to get the official pick count later, because I've heard lots of different numbers have been kind of bouncing around on Twitter. And so I'm going to get the official count later on, and then I will make sure that everybody knows that. I think Bobby's probably right. Like, Bobby's rarely incorrect about stuff like that. So, yeah, it is – I mean, to me, there was not a lot. I mean, I don't think the Thunder were ever really going to trade Kenrich Williams. That was a name that was thrown out there. I just never really believed it. The Thunder actually like really, really like him. And so, and then like who else? Like they already traded Hami. That, I think that was a deal that was going to get done just because I don't think they wanted him to become a restricted free agent. And so then, like, I mean, sure, you can move Mike Muscala, but I just don't know if he has value, and they just might like having him around, honestly. Like, that might be a reality.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder, we had talked about Steven Adams being the kind of the Nick Collison role sure. guy transitioning into the next era. But it feels like, and Keith Smith, I think, is the one who posted last night that the Thunder wouldn't accept anything short of a first for Kenrich because of how much they value him and really see him as a piece of their franchise yeah. moving forward, which could have been positioning, trying to convince somebody like, hey, we want more than what you're offering us, which happens a ton. But it also could be one of those things where they look at Kenrich maybe to be that kind of guy yeah. for them, like the Nick Collison kind of role for them that's going to be, because he plays that part. He's the hustler. He just does all of the things you want on this team. And if this team does compete, and so say if it's a 4-year timeline, he's 30. Most of the rest of our guys are in their mid-20s. I mean, he'd be a pretty good piece for a championship team or a team making a deeper run in the playoffs. And so it doesn't bother me that he's here. I like Kenrich. I was very surprised that he actually made the team. But now that I've seen him play over the course of the season, he's been somebody that I've really enjoyed having on the team. And so yep. I know we're primarily an Oklahoma City focused podcast, but I love, like, if you were just going to give me like a quick update on who you think won today or two or three moves that you thought were really, really impressive. What were your kind of initial thoughts on trade deadline so far?
Yeah, I love what Denver did. I think getting Aaron Gordon yeah. for... Gary Harris has been like so up and down. He's in and out of lineup with injuries. Like, you give up a future first, give up Hampton. It was like a nice future piece. You didn't really give up that much. Like, you didn't really give up much of your rotation mm-hmm. to get a guy that I think could be high impact. So I really like that, especially in the yeah. West. Like, who's the favorite in the West today? I don't know. I mean, and also the fact about them, about the Nuggets, is like everybody talked about Jeremy Grant like all season. It's like, oh, but they would really miss Jeremy Grant. Like, okay, well, you add like Jeremy Grant, like, plus, like, he's a better passer than Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, he's got
more better feel.
I don't know if I would say he's better than Jeremy, but I think that they...
I think he is. I think Jeremy's better, a better like rim protector than he is, but I think Gordon's, to me, he's like easily better than Jeremy Grant. And Jeremy's had a nice season, but I think he's better.
Yeah. And the thing I want to see with a guy like Gordon in Denver is the fact that, you know, some of these guys that we've been upset, or not upset, but let down by their development, but they've been stuck in cities like Orlando, which has nothing to do with the actual city, yeah. but the franchise. It just is one of those things that makes me wonder, like, how much better is Gordon going to be playing in Denver with Jokic and mm-hmm. Jamal Murray and yeah. Will Barton and even Paul Millsap, like being surrounded by that level of talent and beyond that level of basketball IQ. I think you'll see if Gordon has another level, I think Denver is a really, really good spot. Like, if I was him as a player, I would be thrilled to be able to go and play for that no doubt. Team, because that roster, it just is going to make you better, honestly. And I don't know. It is an exciting move. This is kind of knowing maybe where our franchise is I actually loved Orlando's day.
Yeah.
They finally made a decision to be bad, trading Vucevic and who else did they trade to the Bulls? And no, Al-Farouq Aminu to the Bulls, and then trading Fournier to the Boston Celtics, which we can maybe parse that out a little bit. But And then getting Aaron Gordon and just getting some draft assets as part of that. It just, they've been stuck in that eight yeah. seed forever. And so it finally feels like they're moving towards, which kind of for the Oklahoma City fans is not the ideal, because they're going to be very successful at being bad, because they mm-hmm. already have been for most of the season. But at least they kind of have a clear identity of what they're doing. So,
yeah, which is nice. I think they're the other winner. Like, I don't really love a whole lot else that was done. I don't know that anything else. I think Gordon really moves the needle in the West. And then, like, I just like that Orlando picked a direction, essentially.
Yeah. I kind of like the, I know I probably am alone on this, but I actually kind of like the Rondo, the Clippers move. Just because Rondo is that guy, man. Like, I just, it wasn't, I mean, it was last August, September when he was one of the most important pieces on that Lakers team in the finals run. And so he just knows how to play. And I think he'll work really well with those guys. And I know that not everybody thinks that's a really needle moving move, but I don't know. I've liked Rondo for a long time. And also, of course, Lou Williams going back to Atlanta is just riddled with storylines that are intriguing and funny and amazing. That's true. So,
yeah, I don't love that for the Clippers. I mean, you're counting on playoff Rondo to show up, and maybe, you know, if he does, then that's a great deal. And if he doesn't, then you just give up picks and cash and brought on a worse contract. Like, I don't love it. Like, I would have, if I were them, I would have been really fighting to get George Hill over Rondo, just because I think, like, George Hill's much better culture guy. He's a much better shooter. He's a guy that can set the table for you. I think that he fit a lot better than Rondo, who, I mean, if you're the Hawks, I mean, you have to be, like, elated that you were able to get off of Rajon Rondo's contract like that.
Yeah, because you just have this year with Lou, and then it's your free.
I mean, I think it's a wonderful deal for them. The Clippers, maybe they do end up benefiting from it, but I'm a little skeptical on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the probably more level-headed take, is that Rondo's not going to move the needle for you. But I just have seen him do it enough. Like, even when it's been a while, but even when he was on those Pelicans teams, and you're like, Rondo's washed and all this stuff, and all of a sudden they beat the Blazers and play the Warriors really well in the second round of that playoff series, in a large part because of Rondo. So Michele is joining the pod. What's up?
Hey, Michele. I have a whole new setting, which is terrible because I have something in front of me and I cannot really watch the camera watching the video, but I'll try to manage.
Well, I was just telling him how much I actually enjoy Rondo going to the Clippers, and he was like, I'm not sure that's a good move, but I don't know. We're talking about other trades. Anything else from the day, Michele? Like, what's your thoughts? You're fresh on the pod. What did you think of today?
I'm a bit disappointed on the Thunder. I thought the return Hill is not great. It's okay, I think. The point is, to me, that, I mean, I really hope for them to make more moves, you know? Just one, I don't think that it changes dramatically the state of the art for the Thunder, and the fact that they are winning too much. And I don't know. But in general, the return, except for Vucevic, was kind of low in every deal. I mean, New Orleans got nothing, basically nothing, for JJ Redick.
Right.
It's kind of brutal.
Yeah, I don't know if there was a lot of people willing to hand out first rounders unless you're giving a really high impact player.
Well, even, I mean, I think this is more telling on how little the value for Oladipo is. But you even look at that. I mean, they didn't get much at all for Victor Oladipo, which I think the conversation, I don't know enough about the details of all of this, but they're like, why didn't they just keep LeVert and get Jared Allen? Like, they could have actually had some decent young pieces, but instead now they have Kelly Olynyk, Avery Bradley, and a pick swap.
It's really bad.
Which is a 2022 pick swap, is that what it
is?
Yeah,
but I don't think that was the reason of the move. Maybe I'm wrong, totally wrong, but the idea was to be more in control of their destiny soon. Like with Oladipo, even if they don't deal him, it's just a 5 month thing, 6 month, whatever. If you have LeVert, it's way more. It's a commitment. It's probably a player that you can flip over the summer, no matter what. But I don't know, health concerns, stuff like that. Oladipo was, well, maybe we will get an extra asset, and this is basically what they did.
Yeah.
Hey, so I'm going to ask you a question that I asked Andrew earlier, and this actually was a pre-pod question. So if you had to choose between Tony Bradley or Moses Brown...
I don't know. The idea of Bradley is nice. I mean, I'm kind of into Moses' production, though. I know that it's fool's gold because it's too early. It's against nobody. He didn't face any good center as of yet. Valanciunas doesn't qualify. But I mean, he's all over the place. Defense, offense, he can rebound. I said this morning with John, I mean, if he develops even a little bit as a rim protector and as a communicator on defense, the possession where I really enjoyed the most Moses last night was not like the block or whatever, but it was him screaming at his teammates where to be in pick and rolls. If he can do that, that is something.
Yeah, there was actually, you mentioned it on the Thunder After Dark as well, as he, just by his sheer size, he's a deterrent, which has been, I mean, Adams, not trying to pick on Adams, and that's not what I'm saying. It's not that he wasn't, but because of Moses's size, there was a play, and it may have been Ja Morant that was about to penetrate and got about to the free throw line and saw Moses just literally spanning the entire key, and then all of a sudden he backed back out and, you know, did something else with the ball. And so Moses is shocking. I didn't mean to spend this much time. It's just like, it's the most crow that I've ever had to eat about an NBA player in a really long time. Because for sure didn't think he was much. I even mentioned it. Didn't think he was much better than Dakari. And it's proving to me that he's obviously a better player than Dakari.
I wouldn't say obviously as of today. The bar is really low. The bar is very low with Dakari, but for sure he's more productive, more athletic. He runs Dakari.
Yeah, he's more mobile. Like there's just like he hits different markers that you can say like, okay, like I can see a path to him sticking around the league. Like Dakari could have been in the league 15 years ago, like in like stuck and been a backup for somebody.
Yeah.
But not today. Like today is like you have to be quick. Like everybody has to be quick. Let's go to the stream real quick. Shouts to Miroslav from Germany. Let's see. Andrew Lindgren says hello. We have Kevin in Albuquerque. We have Nomo in Washington, D.C. We have Wild Hunt in London. This is from Daniel. It says, hi, Andrew and Jay. It's Daniel from the UK. Thanks for your updates throughout today. It helped a lot over here getting my news. Let's see who else. This is Armand. Big shouts to Armand. We have Joshua in Portland. We have Jonathan in Fort Cobb. We have Blue Diamond Gem that says, trade SGA for Jared Dudley. Wow. Okay. We have Ben in Tulsa. We have Brian in Wisconsin. Let's see. No Limit says, isn't Austin Rivers hurt? Yeah, he is hurt, but I don't think it's a long-term thing. Let's see. Anybody else? We have Brett from Seattle. We have Felipe in Brazil. White Black in Morocco. Thanks for joining. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope your voice is better than mine today.
So, McKelly, who else did you? So, one of the questions I asked Andrew was, whose day did you really like and who were you kind of let down by? So, I've got to go. I got to step away from the pod because I'm still technically working, but I want to hear when I re listen to it who you thought had a good day and who you thought had a pretty rough day as far as franchises.
I mean, Orlando has had a pretty nice day, I would say. Yeah, I mean, they had a lot of good deals in terms of return. They got two firsts for Vooks. I mean, Vucevic is clearly an all-star in terms of offensive numbers, but his production doesn't correlate with winning. I mean, we've seen that with Orlando this season. Now, in a winning context with that, I don't know if Chicago qualifies, but anyway, maybe he can do better, but you know, I'm not sure that offer was on the table for nothing, yeah, or a second.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure either,
because I think that the asking price was way more than what I'm implying right now. But the point is, to me, like, is it really worth two first-round picks. I mean, for Orlando, is a no-brainer. And the fact that they were able also to unload Fournier for, again, basically nothing. And Boston, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, maybe the fact that...
Why do they give Tice away? Like, what are they doing? Tice for Mo Wagner? Like, what is going... I just don't understand it. That is a weird one. Tice is, like, legit good. Like, he's helpful. I like that for the Bulls a lot. I think the Bulls got a lot better, not just because of Vooch. I think that, like, having Tice as the backup, like, you have, like, a real rotation.
Yeah, I don't like the asset allocations for both. Like, you want to get the center, just get Tice. Maybe Tice was not in place when they did the Vucevic deal. But if you do it, why do you have to do also the Tice deal? I mean, I don't really understand. I mean, to me, Markkanen should play as a center a little bit more, especially with Thad Young there. Now we have a logjam of players that play roles that are not primer in the NBA, and you paid for that. I don't know. I mean, Boston and Chicago, to me, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe what they need is exactly what they got. But again, I mean, looking to Chicago, you pay two firsts for a guy that maybe is worth on the court one, and there are other options to me that were probably cheaper than Vooch and correlates to winning way more. But maybe it's just biased towards Horford and Vooch in Chicago would be amazing. On defense, I just don't see that.
Yeah, defensively, it's a problem. I actually like it a little bit. I mean, they're clearly just swinging to try to get in the playoffs. And I think that helps. I think that helps get them there. So I'm actually not really that down on it because I don't love the way that Chicago's used a lot of their draft picks anyways. And so I think getting if you like Zach, basically this is just a signal that like we really like Zach LaVine, like we really like what he's been doing, and we think that he's a helpful player.
Yeah.
And so,
but he's not the number one to me. And basically they decided that LaVine is their number one, and they will go that route. And that Patrick Williams probably is number two, three.
Yeah.
I'm not really ready to say that I believe them, but they are Chicago. Like if they are even remotely, it's not in the coast, so maybe it will not happen, but they are still they are in a big market. And so even if they screw up with a few of their moves here and there, if they win enough and there is a wing, a talented wing, that is on the market, say Paul George crushes with the Clippers, then who knows? Maybe you get a player like that and boom, you're in the mix of doing noise in the East, not winning anything, but still.
Yeah. No, I agree. My answer earlier was I did like what Orlando did, but I think Denver, like, they've got a chance now to do something. So I think that they've got a shot. The Lakers are vulnerable. I think the Clippers have made themselves vulnerable even to the Nuggets last year. Obviously, they lost them in the playoffs. And then, like, the other guys up are the Jazz and the Suns. And so I'm just like, yeah, like, go for it. And you didn't have to give up, like, premium assets to get him. I mean, if I'm the Bulls or even looking at Boston, like, I would have much rather had Aaron Gordon than what those two teams got. And I know Aaron Gordon hasn't been the best player of those three, but to me, he's like the most versatile of those three. And I think that, especially with Boston, like, you put him in such a better position than what he's been in Orlando, that that would have been more of a no-brainer. But I love the fit more in Denver, and love what they've been able to do, because you get to keep Michael Porter Jr. and you get to move forward with like a really nice team that could grow together for years. Like, that's in a market like that, it's perfect.
Yeah. If it's the I don't know if he fits the cut move move around Jokic, but it sure is an environment where you can try to make him do that. And also the age, as you said, they can grow together. They are basically all the same age. I mean, so it's nice. I don't know how much it swings in terms of winning, because it's hard to understand how he will play there. But if he fits well, and they sure need athleticism and energy, and he can do that. Now, if he can gel together, mesh together, whatever, in their offensive system, then yeah, they are surely better. I don't really know what the Clippers are doing. This is just... I mean, I'm so happy for OKC and for the future assets that they that we have, but...
Yeah. I don't get it Rondo. Either. Rondo. I love it. So Thunder moving forward, we have the SGA injury mm-hmm. with his plantar fasciitis. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they would fake that. I know there's been some speculation on that. I don't think they would. I do think
that he's fake.
Yeah.
You can say, well, it's a bit, you have a bit of inflammation there. The normal prognosis is 2 days. Let's wait 2 months.
Yeah. I mean, that's possible. It's obviously a good thing for the Thunder's draft position. And we saw last night, like, they just completely fell apart against the Grizzlies in the third quarter. And that was pretty much the game. And without SGA moving forward, I think that they're going to lose a lot of games. They'll win some games. They'll surprise some teams, certainly, because they do have the 3-point volatility that really helps them in certain games that we saw it the other night. They shot like 57% from three. So, but I do think that this lends, and especially, like, I honestly think if they are able to bring Austin Rivers in, I think they'll lose a lot more games. So I think that this it helps the cause. It helps. You also get like a chance to develop a guy like Tony Bradley. So it's just kind of a win all around, and they're probably going to sit Muscala the rest of the season. They're probably going to sit Horford a lot. And then it's all about development from here on out.
I wouldn't be surprised if they release a few guys as well.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if Muscala has an option to go somewhere that wasn't up or that like they didn't meet the criteria and he really wants to go and blah blah blah, then maybe they will do him a favor and just say, well, okay, just give us a little bit, you will recoup it in the market. And
I think it's totally possible. I think the thing about the Thunder is that they always have conversations with guys about this stuff, and there's no surprises to any of these guys. And so if Mike's saying like, hey, like he may have had a list, and I don't think the Thunder honor every single list that every player brings to them, but like Mike could have said something to the effect of like, hey, listen, like I have a list and I'll sit on the bench if you can move me to one of those teams or like give me a buyout. And then, you know, like I won't make a big deal out of any of this, you know? And I don't know if Mike did that, but I'm just like, there are conversations going on behind the scenes that we just don't know about. And I actually kind of hope that they would move on from him. But there's the possibility that he just likes being here and would want to be here, and he could stay.
Yeah. Option A is I'm fine. I understand the cause. Just give me a contract next year where I can play and then we have a deal. Or it's as you say, it's a list, maybe a short list. And if you can move in there, great. If not, we'll reach a buyout and that's fine. If I find a team that wants my service because again, you need to find a team that has space for him. And there are teams that may use him, but if you go deep and look at the minutes and stuff like that, maybe there's nothing for him on a contender. And like, you know, not to go, maybe not going to a contender is something that he doesn't like as much as sticking with the group and being mm-hmm. the bench and practicing and stuff like that.
Yeah, totally possible. Also, like, we just also have to recognize that, I guess, people that watch every Thunder game, like, we just know these guys better and probably have a higher opinion of almost all of them.
Yeah, we need to be a little bit more, I would say, critical to our guys and in general to their value in, around the league. I mean, they all know that Muscala cannot play in playoffs. This is the deal. And because the defense is not good enough. Mike is a great spacer. He's a gunner. He can hit 7 threes in a game. But if you want to go deep into the playoffs, then it's hard to play a guy like that because the defense is really a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yep, no doubt. All right, that's about all I've got just because my voice is about to give out. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We appreciate you guys. Hope that you have a great weekend. We probably won't have another pod just because I need some recovery time. We've got Saturday Slam and Jam coming, so I really got to rest my voice for that. So make sure you listen to that on the Athletic NBA Show feed. You guys have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys again on Monday.